At the end of the month, my father paid him for the number of notches on the stick. That was it. No questions, no ID. But I didn't tell them. I thanked Mr. Nguyen for not calling the cops. Took Bubba home. He sulked and smoked on the balcony while I made rice with chicken neck stew. A year and a half since we had stepped off the plane from Peshawar, and Bubba was still adjusting. We ate in silence that night. After two bites, Bubba pushed away his plate. I glanced at him across the table, his nails chipped and black with engine oil, his knuckles scraped, the smells of the gas station, dust, sweat, and gasoline on his clothes. Bubba was like the widower who remarries but can't let go of his dead wife. He missed the sugarcane fields of Jalalabad and the gardens of Pagmon. He missed people milling in and out of his house. He missed walking down the bustling aisles of Shor Bazaar and greeting people who knew him and his father, knew his grandfather, people who shared ancestors with him, whose pasts intertwined with his. For me, America was a place to bury my memories. For Baba, a place to mourn his. "Maybe we should go back to Peshawar," I said, watching the ice float in my glass of water. We had spent 6 months in Peshawar waiting for the INS to issue our visas. Our grimy one-bedroom apartment smelled like dirty socks and cat droppings. But we were surrounded by people we knew, at least people Baba knew. He would invite the entire corridor of neighbors for dinner, most of them Afghans waiting for visas. Inevitably, someone would bring a set of tabla and someone else a harmonium. Tea would brew, and whoever had a passing singing voice would sing until the sun rose, the mosquitoes stopped buzzing, and clapping hands grew sore. "You're happier there, Baba. It's more like home," I said. "Peshawar was good for me, not good for you," he said. "You work so hard here." "It's not so bad now," he said, meaning since he had become the day manager at the gas station. But I had seen the way he winced and rubbed his wrists on damp days, the way sweat erupted on his forehead as he reached for his bottle of antacids after meals. "Besides, I didn't bring us here for me, did I?" he said. I reached across the table and put my hand on his, my student hand, clean and soft, on his laborer's hand, grubby and calloused. I thought of all the trucks, train sets, and bikes he had bought me in Kabul. Now, America. One last gift for Amir. Just 1 month after we arrived in the U.S., Baba found a job off Washington Boulevard as an assistant at a gas station owned by an Afghan acquaintance. He had started looking for work the same week we arrived. 6 days a week, Baba pulled 12-hour shifts pumping gas, running the register, changing oil, and washing windshields. I'd bring him lunch sometimes and find him looking for a pack of cigarettes on the shelves, a customer waiting on the other side of the oil-stained counter, Baba's face drawn and pale under the bright fluorescent lights. The electronic bell over the door would ding-dong when I walked in, and Baba would look over his shoulder, wave, and smile, his eyes watering from fatigue.